We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Before we get to any Browns talk, how you doing, buddy?
Doing very, very well. Another beautiful day here in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, I get used to this.
Almost 70. Be
very careful. You could be going into Baskin territory of starting every show out as if you are a local weatherman, which is not a problem. I just don't want, you know, gimmick infringement is my concern.
I'm not stealing from Baskin, as Baskin's right there. Come on in, Andy.
Yeah, come on in. Can you give us the official weather forecast? I missed it today before the jump start, and I just want to know.
We didn't have a jump start today. We had the press conference.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So nobody got their weather today.
Wait. No, but all right, you're not dogging me for saying weather. Weather's like the most important thing. Phelps gets mad when I do this.
Why does Phelps get mad?
He's just like, oh, he did the weather again to start the show. I'm like, man, if there's a game today, I want to know what's going on.
So, like, do we know the percentage of rain today? I know you still prepped for
it. Tomorrow's supposed to get rain.
Oh.
Sunday, no.
It's like a 25% chance.
Because I'm just carting around Northeast Ohio looking at all of Dustin Fox records down in Canton. I'm at a track meet last week, and I'm like, man, Foxy's got a record from 20 years ago in the 100-yard dash.
23 years ago.
It's impressive. It really is. But it seems like everybody you went to school would set some records. There was another guy that was really good.
Derek Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually ran for Reebok and nearly went to the Olympics. Yeah. But
you were better, just so you know.
No, Derek,
wherever you are, Dustin was better.
I was really impressed. That's the first time I've been to that school. I was really impressed with it, except that track is so windy.
It is. So that's like the tallest point in Stark County, I feel like. It really is. It's like the windiest part ever. But you guys got a press conference today during the show, huh?
Oh, we did. It was always so exciting.
That's new for you guys, huh?
Yeah, we normally don't run press conferences.
You guys don't get press conferences.
You guys are such jerks.
What?
Man. Oh, you're like, oh, well, we're going to do a five-hour show. We never get a press conference to run the whole press conference.
Well, those are facts.
Those are facts. Why are we jerks for saying facts?
No, because it's like you're like, oh, well, did you barely work today?
No.
People want to hear what Andrew Berry has to say.
When we talk about it, we just say when we get one on our own show, we call it the Baskin and Phelps treatment.
The old BNP.
Yeah, the old BNP. And it's like when I was in Jamaica, full service. It's like you just feel like very... very regal. You feel like you live in a different style of life.
Full service?
Full service.
So I listened. Did I catch any of you? They were making fun of me the other day. I was in Italy and I was listening to the station.
Oh.
Last week. My wife had work to do.
Why were you
listening? Trust me. Because I was like getting ready. And
check
I was just
out.
Like,
check
was,
out, man.
I was either going to listen to music or do that. And I don't know.
Nick,
I wanted
you didn't
to know
listen
what was
in
going
Jamaica,
on.
Did you?
Not a chance in hell.
No.
Not even a little bit. Actually, I tried to once. And the app was like, nope. And I was like, okay, that's enough.
So
that's what I need.
Booba had that problem once. And then we had a guy that called it Robert, who's a regular caller, said he listens all the time when he heads over to Europe.
So I
just thought it was pretty cool. I'm halfway around the world. And I
it is cool that you can do that.
Yeah.
I didn't do it every day. I was just sitting there and I just wanted to hear what was going on. Plus the eclipse was going on and I was over there and I was kind of bummed out that I wasn't.
You did miss an awesome 2 minutes.
So did you want to listen?
Were you able to watch any of it or were you in the studio?
No, we took a break right as the totality happened.
So real quick.
Yeah, why didn't you just do the show out on the street? Think about that one. You could have just done a remote from the street just to do the eclipse live.
Did you listen to 92.3 The Fan, a sports station?
Yeah.
You wanted to listen during the eclipse?
No, I wanted to. That was just another thing I did while I was in Italy. Yes, I wanted. And it was the home opener.
How did you get the eclipse coverage in? Where?
I was watching online.
Okay.
One of the TV stations.
Did you watch the actual?
Yeah, so it was cool. So I mean,
only you
watching
would
the
be
eclipse
in Italy doing that.
On the internet, and I was FaceTiming with my daughter.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Play something funny that I missed.
Okay. No.
No, and so I FaceTimed with my daughter, and my daughter's like, Dad, this is really cool. I wish you were here. And I was like, yeah, me too. Yeah. But it was only for like 5 minutes. Then I was over real quick once we started eating food in Italy, and I was just like, God, this food is so good. It's so fresh.
You can leave.
It's awesome.
So with that being said,
yeah,
if given the chance between 4 minutes of the eclipse, which was better than I thought, admittedly, or being in Italy, I would have taken Italy. Just full disclosure.
Okay, good. How about you, Dustin? You? Italy or 4 minutes of the eclipse?
Italy.
Right, again, what's the weather again? for today?
Can we stop it? I don't know what it is right now.
I couldn't remember if it was 67 or 70 degrees. I could not remember.
Is it that even that warm? It says right on your computer 54 degrees.
That can't be accurate.
Outside right now, it's about 60.
Okay.
In Cleveland.
So I don't need a jacket. I was trying to figure out.
What's the precip on that over there?
The what now?
Precipitation.
Oh, precipitation.
Is that what you need? Do you want to know if there's going to be widely scattered darkness tonight,
we're looking,
too?
We're looking out for clear, that. Boys, the rest of the day.
I feel good. Right after sundown, we're going to widely scattered darkness.
Pollen count?
Unfortunately, on Friday, guys, we're going to have a 65% chance of rain.
Well, is this a Keith thing ripping me on weather, too?
No. Every day. You do it at the show every day. You just haven't been able to hear a word I've said.
Why don't we do It Shall Present?
I know you don't have any headphones on. I've been ripping you.
So my favorite
on the bottom of our rundown for the last segment, we always just kind of wing it, and it says, It Shall Present Itself.
Can't tell.
And it never does.
Oh, would you stop it?
Andy, we love you.
Goodbye, guys. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you.
Andy, I want overtime. Super Popo.
Haskell, what's going on with that coyote?
They're moving
Arizona
to Salt Lake.
Coyotes, huh?
Yeah, they're moving to Salt Lake.
Moving to Salt
By the
Lake.
Way, high pollen count today, just for anybody out there. Yeah,
yeah, my allergy's killing me.
Yeah.
Killing you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
people, I'm sure everyone hears me cough throughout the show. Hey,
tomorrow,
I can stay home.
Tomorrow it's moderate, though. Just I'm not trying to infringe. Again,
okay,
respect.
I'm going to walk out the door.
It's vital,
Baskin. I just feel like there's knives coming at me when I walk out the door. Are you guys close to break or what?
No. We probably should land the plane at some
point. Let's do another 8 minutes.
We got Big Poobah in the house.
Super Poobah is not happy with this. Then we definitely should do another 7 minutes of it.
I don't know that he's unhappy with it.
Oh, maybe he loves it.
Because he's just talking to Keith. He's not really looking at us.
All right. Well, I was hoping that he didn't love it. Because then I could, then I'm annoying Andy and other Andy and Super Poobah. That's
Andy,
a threefer.
Real quick, do you drink coffee?
I all the time. I never used to until I started this job.
Now,
I started drinking coffee
for later.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You'll want to be listening, not from Italy, but on the Odyssey app at 3 o'clock with a friend of the show.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Don't worry
about
it.
Used to play
cappuccino.
Used to play for the Browns and wear number 21.
Yeah.
Oh, used to.
Used to.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Or still does.
Really, really good punt returner.
Let's really muddy the water so he doesn't know. Yeah. He could still play for them. He definitely used to. Could in the future. I don't know.
Muddy coffee doesn't sound good, though.
But black coffee does, and that's what I have right now. And we bid you adieu, sir.
Time for you to go, Baskin.
See you.
It's like Ken Carman hanging up on me in the mornings.
Yeah, just like that. I think that's what you say, and then you hang up on somebody.
There's no way.
Yeah, there's no way. So, I came to a realization, my friend.
What's that?
I really miss when the Browns had a first-round draft pick.
Dude, tell me about it, man.
And here's the thing. We're 1 week out from the draft. So, admittedly, J.W. Johnson said something similar that we're going to play. He kind of, tongue-in-cheek said, well, this used to be the Super Bowl in Cleveland. I don't miss it when you had the number one pick back-to-back years. That kind of sucked. Mostly because the fall sucked. And the fall sucks enough in Cleveland because of weather. The football better be good. Just let good football get me through the fall and the winter. But man, I'm sitting here with pick 54, and every time I'm like, hey man, you think the kid from LSU, Smith, you think he'll fall to the Browns at 54? Even diehard fans are like, I don't know. And that's where pretty much every Browns draft conversation with my friends who I know are Browns fans starts and ends. Hey, Keon Coleman, could he fall to 50? Maybe. Okay. I just missed the day where you had – even the Greg Newsom draft, you pick 25th. You do cornerback, do you go
edge
there?
I'm fine with
there?
That. My son's all pumped to watch the Bills draft, and they've got the 24th pick, I think, in the draft. And at least there, you have something to look forward to. And, getting a first-round pick, I feel like it gets the fans excited because you at least have that one guy – to look forward to. Last year it was Cedric Tillman, but that was the third round.
Yeah.
And you can't have the expectations of a third round pick to come in and be this great franchise type player immediately. And so we didn't have that last year. And this year you've got a second round pick 54.
54, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
This is my official prediction. You stopped being excited about the draft for your favorite team if their first pick is after the 40th pick.
Yeah, it's hard to.
Isn't that good? Isn't that, I kind of ballparked it, but once you get past pick 39 or 40, it kind of becomes who the hell knows who's going to be there.
Right, and that's why it becomes very difficult for people to talk about it and for you and I to spend a lot of time on it because, frankly, you have no idea who the Browns are targeting at pick 54. And odds are, at that spot, you're already through the top 40 players-ish based on how you look at it. And so a lot of fans don't really know the guys who are the next, you know, between picks 50 or play, you know, top 50 to 120. Mm-hmm. That's who you could be drafting in the second round. And that's, again, it's okay. But I wish we had a first round pick.
Yeah. Like, and it's, you know, it's funny. This is still a really important draft for the Browns. Like, it really is, because of the age of your roster, the Browns the last 2 years, and it's not just the last 2 years because they've resided in a lot of one-year deals. I think that's just kind of Andrew's like roster-building philosophy. He's not afraid of short-term commitments to players, even guys at key positions. But like, this draft is still pretty important because you need to get – you got five picks. They could conceivably trade down out of 54 to get another pick or two. I know Zach Jackson wrote about that on The Athletic on his most recent mock draft. And – they could trade down, but it's like you need one or two. The expectations can't be the same as if you had, you know, three picks in the top 70 like they used to, or four picks or five picks. But the draft might not be as important for 2024. They still need to find at least one or two contributors out of those five picks that can help, simply because they haven't had a first round pick since Greg Newsom, you know, was that 3 years ago now, four years ago now?
Greg Newsom was, gosh,
yeah,
a while ago.
Yeah. I think he was 2021, which happened quickly.
2021?
Yeah, because Jed was 2020.
Okay, yeah, 2021, yeah, yeah.
And then 2022 obviously went for Baker.
How about that?
I miss the draft.
I do.
I miss it meaning something. It means something to me.
I don't miss bad draft picks.
You can still make those. No matter where you pick, it
doesn't matter where you pick.
Those never go away.
Although there's less expectations for picks in the second, third round. More for the second round, but way less for the third.
You think that's more of a cause of the buzz? It's not that people aren't excited, but it's that people don't have high expectations, and expectations drive excitement.
Yes.
216-474-0092. Do you miss the draft? Do you miss having a first round pick? We'll play what J.W. Johnson had to say on that. We'll also play Andrew Berry spoke to the media today, his pre-draft press conference, and talked about how the organization has weathered not having a first-round pick for the last 3 years.
Pretty exciting. You know, Andrew and his team and Paul and Kevin and everybody, you know, they've done a fantastic job building out the roster. You know, we're excited. We've got a lot of young players and a lot of great vets to complement that. You know, the draft, candidly, has been the Super Bowl for this organization for a long time, and I think we're excited that we're not in that place anymore and having to host big draft parties to see who's going to go number one. I mean, hopefully soon enough we're picking again in the first round, and it's 32 next year. So we're happy with where we are. I think Andrew and the guys will continue to scour, and we found some great value in some mid-round picks here the last couple of years, and hopefully we can do that again this year.
J.W. Johnson of the Cleveland Browns yesterday with Baskin and Phelps, the second Andy Baskin appearance on the station today, or sorry, this the show today, as you heard his chuckle in the background there, and that and when I heard him say, like, yeah, you know, it used to be kind of the Super Bowl of Cleveland, he's right. And I don't necessarily miss that, but I do miss just having a first-round pick and the excitement that comes with it. But I wanted to get, before we get into what Andrew Berry had to say, I did want to pick your brain on this before we get to Joe, who's waiting on hold there. I want to get your thoughts on something I said. I still think, despite the fact you don't have a number one pick and you've got two picks in the top 100 and you only have five picks overall, I actually still think it's a relatively important draft for the Cleveland Browns. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
And then, so why? I'll start with your why and I'll get to mine.
You tell me your why first.
My why is you still have a roster that is built on one-year deals predominantly. And because you haven't had a number one pick, you need to make sure that you find an extra pick here or there, or a diamond in the rough here and there, like you did with DeJuan Jones last year,
Yeah. So
that you can continue to – so basically you don't back yourself into a corner where everybody next year has to be 1 year, or 2 years from now everyone has to be 1 year deals. That, the 1 year deal thing, plus the fact that DeSean – is still, I mean, what, making $50 million a year? Like,
yeah, that's a lot. It eats up a lot of cap space.
If you have a quarterback, and I know you can move money around, but if you have a quarterback making that kind of money, you really, like we saw in LA last year, you really need to nail some mid to late round picks to make sure that you have just enough young players, not just for depth purposes, but guys who 2 years from now, again, when you get a guy in the top 32, you're hoping for this year. Beyond that, or beyond maybe the top 100, you're hoping maybe 2 years from now he can be a good player. Or 3 years from now, you know, he can grow into something. That's kind of where the Browns are. And they've done, and I will say, like, I think they've done an admirable job drafting without a first-round pick. Yeah, Cedric Tillman didn't really look ready for the spotlight last year. DeJuan Jones did. You know, JOK was their second-round pick, and I can't remember if JOK was – no, that was the Newsom draft. But still, like, that first draft doesn't look great from Barry. Jed is probably their best pick, maybe, and that's not great. But, like, you start to look, like, there are some good draft picks. But here's the other thing. I still think Andrew Berry needs to prove to me he can draft at an elite level.
Yeah, I think he does, especially when we start getting first-round picks.
Yeah, well, I mean, even now, like, I'm confident he's good at drafting. Like, what do you think he's best at?
I don't know.
I think he's best at making.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Trades. When he makes a trade, even if they don't lose the trade, or sorry, even if they don't win the trade, they don't seem to lose a lot of, for instance, the Elijah Moore thing. Like, you didn't win that trade, or you haven't won that trade yet. Given his production, you fell like, I want to say it was 30 spots, something like that in the draft. You got decent production for that. You hope you can get elite production at some point, given Elijah's talent. But, like, overall, you start to look at this like, okay, that's if that's the worst trade you've made, you're actually doing okay, because Elijah's going to be on the roster for a second year.
Yeah.
So, like, I think the best thing he does is trades. I also think that next thing up is starting to pick the right guys to do one-year deals with. For instance, Za'Darius was effectively, even though you traded for him, Za'Darius effectively was a one-year deal guy. Clowney, that first one, is a one-year deal guy. I think you can find multiple guys. Like, I mean, even Rodney McLeod last year, when he played, he was a crucial part of their defense, and that was like a 35-year-old one-year deal that now they're going to do for the second year. So, but the one, of all the pieces of Andrew, I think he's proven himself that he can build winning rosters. He's done it 2 of 4 years. The floor on this roster that he's built was a 7-win team, and that was for a lot of complications 2 years ago. But, like, so I know he can build a roster. I know he knows what a winning roster looks like. I know he can excel at trades. I know that he can excel in free agency. I know he can do reasonably well in the draft. And, again, I do think some of this is muddied because you haven't had a first-round pick. But I can't point to the draft yet that I think he is just far and away, oh, my God, that, you know, like, and this is unfair because this guy had a third round pick, or had the third pick and the 24th pick in the draft. But, like, Ozzie's first draft, he took Jermaine Lewis in, I think, the 5th round, Pro Bowl kick returner. And he also nabbed two guys named John Ogden and Ray Lewis. The second that happens, you go, oh, that guy can draft his ass off. Or, honestly, Les Snead last year in L.A., where they got Kobe Turner, who's probably going to be a 10-year starter for them and like and a guy that can create immense pressure. I think they got him in the 3rd round. The other kid, the kid's name's escaping from the secondary, they got him in the 4th or 5th round. So, like, that's a – okay, you didn't have top draft picks, but you got two guys who are core pieces of your team. Andrew's drafted really well, reasonably well. I still haven't seen the draft where we go, and 2 years later, we're like, that's the best draft. Stop it. I no longer have to worry about whether you're going to have a great draft, a good draft. I know there's at least a floor, and you kind of know where the floor and the ceiling are in the draft, if that makes
sense.
Wasn't
there a point, like when Belichick was in New England, that you just, when they made a pick, you're like, yeah, this guy's it's a great pick. And people would even like tout the pick like before the guy ever stepped on the field.
You know what's ironic about that? Yeah. It was right before he started making a bunch of bad picks.
Right. Yeah.
Like, isn't that funny?
I agree. He definitely started making bad picks. But there was like a decade.
01 to like 08 where you're like, oh my God, Belichick is an elite front office guy. And then there was like, it was like 08 to probably, I mean, honestly, even through the end where the drafts just weren't as good. But yeah, you're right. Like early on, like the first 7 or 8 drafts for Belichick, that's a great point. 216-474-0092. Do you agree that Andrew Berry still has some proving to do? I don't like saying he needs to prove himself because he's proven to some degree he's at least sufficient at drafting. Do you think that Andrew Berry still has a little bit more to prove in the draft? Let's go with Joe. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Hey, guys. Nick, let me break it down for you. The first 2 rounds, not so good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Took Newsome, we're not so sure about him. He's improved a lot, but I mean, is he really that value? Elijah always, you know, leaves me wanting more, you know, for a second round pick. But I like that 3 through. You know, he probably should get a right hand man just like Stefanski has Dorsey, because to help him think in those when we do get those picks back. But he picked Emerson in the 3rd round, and I was like, man, what's he doing there? And you know what? He's the perfect other side to Denzel. You know, I mean, he's really worked out. And those are the top 100 players, because after the 3rd round or end of it, you get like 7 more compensatory perfect picks. I can't even say it. And then the 4th round is another 15, and 5th round. So he knows how to use those as bait, those later rounds, to like trade-wise. And you know what? He is the master free agency. He got the Schwartz, and he brought those defensive linemen. They didn't like him slapping hands after that. Houston lost to everybody, but he brought all those guys back, and they all seem like they're really solidified. But I really like him in the later rounds, but give me some help. I'll get that right-hand man for you when we get those 1st and 2nd rounders going. Really think hard on this one. If he uses it a trade, he's a master trader, so I ain't worried about that. But the first 3 rounds, top 100 players, you want to pick the best player. You know what I mean? There's 100 good players, 32 teams. I'm just saying.
Joe, we appreciate you, buddy. We also appreciate you poking fun at yourself. Compensatory is hard to say if you're not. Honestly, I'm used to saying that word on the air, and it's still tough for me to say. Yeah, I mean, right now you'd probably say Jed Wills and Grant Delpit is his best top 2 rounds, right? I mean, a year later he did. You got Greg Newsome and JOK. Huh? Those first two, like the first two top 60 picks, or the first 4 rather, are at least good or maybe better. But I actually agree, like, where I trust him to do the best job right now, like, in the, like, last year it was DeJuan Jones, 4th rounder. Cam Mitchell kind of gets slept on. He played a huge role for them defensively.
He played a big role. Yeah.
As a rookie stepping in as the nickelback when Newsome had to slide up because Denzel was out, he, like, held his own at a lot of points. So I really like, so to me, those are already 2 guys that I think have a real nice future here. And obviously, 2 years ago, with MJ Emerson and Alex Wright as 2 of the 3 third-round picks, oh, and Jerome Ford was the 5th-round pick, like, if you get any production from anybody else in that draft, you can actually make a case that that's a much more impressive draft than even getting Wills and Delpit or Newsome and JOK in those first 2 drafts in the top 60.
Yeah, I mean... Do you think that draft was one of his best drafts, by the way, that Newsome draft?
It's tough because, like, beyond Newsome and JOK, it's Schwartz, Hudson, Togiai, Fields, LeCount, and Felton. So, like, you did a good job in the first 2 picks, but, like, who's the third? I mean, maybe James Hudson's the 3rd best player there, and James has kind of been a backup offensive lineman. I actually really like James coming out.
I did too.
I thought he could be a star. I loved him at Cincinnati. But 216-474-0092. I guess we'll ask, like, whether you guys still feel Andrew has a little bit more to prove to himself prove of himself in the NFL draft. I also am open to hear whatever anybody thinks is Andrew Berry's best draft, because I think now looking at it, I think he's had a bunch of nice drafts. Like I said, I don't think any one of them have hit it out of the park. We've been talking about Andrew Berry's comments to the Cleveland media today about not having a first round pick, the previous two drafts, and obviously in this draft as well. Here's what he had to say about how the organization has weathered that situation.
One, time will tell. I think that there are a variety of ways to build a team. I think, right, we saw, I think the Rams this week, if they keep their first round pick, it's the first round pick that they'll have in the Sean McVay era. I also think the reality of the first round picks, like the league rate hit weight, it's like 50%. They're lottery tickets. They're good lottery tickets at the end of the day and highly, highly valuable. But, you know, even if you have a first round pick, it's certainly not a certain thing. So I think maybe having a level of realism in terms of, you know, what can be achieved with your pool of resources or your assets, you know, that's really part of it. But we've been pretty systematic in terms of how we were going to deploy our picks, our dollars, how we were going to manufacture picks to make it up with volume. So we feel pretty good about where the roster sits today. But look, we are looking forward to having one back next year for sure.
So it sounds, if you listen to that, it does sound like he downplays to some extent the lack of a first round pick. Do you think that's because they actually believe that? Or do you think because if they said, oh, it's really tough not having a first-round pick, it opens up a can of worms talking about the trade that they made where they sent all three first-round picks somewhere else?
I think there's a little bit of truth in both things. You know, what he said first about them being lottery tickets, then he said they're really good lottery tickets.
Yeah.
You know, they're better odds. Yeah. It's like when you go to the gas station to pick up the instant tickets. You like instant tickets?
Oh, I love me some instant tickets.
Yeah. You know what happens when you buy the dollar tickets? You most likely lose.
Yeah.
But you know what happens if you pop for the $50 ticket? Yeah. It's a good chance you're going to win.
Yeah.
So first round picks are like the $50 instant ticket. And yes, they don't always hit. Mm-hmm. I bought $50 tickets and lost. But
isn't that a kick in the pants, by
the
way?
It is the worst, dude. It's the worst. It's like, because I've also won like $500 on one.
Yeah. Yeah, there was one time where I had won like $30 on a $30 ticket. This is in Charlotte because there was that corner gas station. It was like my jam. And yeah. I went back and I just got one ticket and I won $60. And then I went back and got two more $30 tickets and I won $800, $400 on each. And it was like the Super Bowl. Now, granted, it wasn't like $800 was the difference between me eating that week and not eating. We were doing fine at that point, but it was like, well, now I got $800. I turned $30 into $800, even though more often than not, I've turned $30 into nothing. Yeah.
So back to Andrew Berry and his analogy, which I thought was great. I also think, to your point, Nick, yeah, I mean, of course he would love to have a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. But if you say that, like, it's just going to open a can of worms, and you're going to be asked about it. And then you're also going to be you're have people questioning whether or not you regret the trade with Watson.
So I think, so there's the immediate, which is year one, where if you don't have a first round pick, or like last year, you don't have a second round pick, it's really tough to expect, no matter how many picks you have. Because I do believe that, like, you can have a, if you don't have a top 10 pick, you can try and take, you know, 3 5th round picks and see if you can get somebody who ends up performing like a top, you know, 10 pick. I believe in the power, I believe in the math behind, they are lottery tickets, and at some point you just want to scratch a bunch off and see if you can turn $1 into $100. I totally get that. But I kind of think, like, how it has mattered, or how it will, like, I don't care if you have a first round pick or whether you have 12 picks or 3 picks or 3-10, you know, whatever the draft math is, and we don't do math on this show, that's a well-known fact. I think 2 years out, if you do have a first-round pick and it's a high first-round pick, you need that player to impact you that next year. No BS. That person needs to, if you're a top 15 pick even, you need somebody that can at least be a rotational player, if not a starter, day one. I think that's, unless it's a quarterback, I think it's non-negotiable. Everything after that becomes, to me, a two-year review process. And that becomes, 2 years later, can you say you have 2 to 3 contributors off that team? And so, like, that, and I will say, that is the bar that Andrew has kind of met. Like, I mentioned the MJ Emerson draft, where your first two picks were Alex Wright and MJ Emerson. MJ, who's been a starter darn near since day one, whether he was listed as a starter or not, he gave you starter production day one, or, you know, week 5 in. And then I think Alex Wright going into year 3? Yeah, year 3. I think Alex Wright might be the most slept-on defensive lineman the Browns have, because he was really good last year and came alive at the end of the season once he got healthy. So, like, okay, that draft, you didn't have a pick until pick 74.
Right.
Or sorry, maybe pick 70. I can't remember. You pass go, you collect $200. And even going back to the Jed Wills Grant Delpit, like you might not like Jed as a player. You might, well, Grant finally just came around this year and then you paid him. Okay, but you got two consistent starters out of that draft. That, I think, is the bare minimum. Whether you have five picks like the Browns, again, consistent starters with how they're set up this year, but at least consistent contributors. I thought it was interesting, by the way, Real Xavier P. on social media, at Nick Wilson says, at Dustin Fox 37, said, I think we have revisionist history at times. He said, I think Anthony Schwartz over St. Brown and Wills over someone else is killing the perception of his drafts. But GM is judged off re-signing stars, roster management, cap management, trades, and draft. I agree to some degree. Here's the thing, though. Revisionist history is absolutely how you should grade a draft. Whether or not somebody agreed that Anthony Schwartz, somebody else agreed that Anthony Schwartz was a third-round pick or not, doesn't matter. You picked him, and he ended up being, I would say, one of the more significant busts you had. So, like...
Yeah, but it's hard to again, third round picks. It's tough, man.
Well, no, I know. I'm just using him as an instance because Xavier P did. Like, I will like, oh man, like James Hudson. I love James Hudson at Cincinnati. So when they drafted him in the fourth round, I was like, well, I really like that. So in that immediacy, I was willing to say I like the draft because of James Hudson and these two other players. But the reality is that's a okay, this is what we got. What do you think? The real grade starts about 2 years out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's where, you know, like I said, like when you and I went through the four drafts that Andrew has had, and nothing truly offensive to me. This isn't, there's no, like, I mean, you look back like 2 years out after some of the Phil Savage drafts, and Phil was not a bad GM, by the way. They didn't end up winning. His bigger problems were getting along with Romeo Crennel and I think John Collins at the point. But, like, I don't think Phil was an atrocious GM. Look at some of those drafts. They didn't have enough steady contributors out of those drafts. Heckert actually had a couple good drafts. It was just that 2012 was so disastrous with Trent Richardson and Brandon Whedon with the Haslams coming in. But, like, you look at Farmer. We knew a year out, yeah, none of those dudes can play. With that one or two of those Sashi drafts, Sean Coleman. Yeah, he was stink on crap. He didn't get better last year at all. Like, so I give Andrew the credit.
There's some of these names you're bringing up I kind of forgot about.
Dude, you understand. I'll occasionally love to just go through the Browns draft index and just be like, that dude, like Ryan Miller, the just gigantic guard from Colorado. Who's like 6'8" or something like that. Then Spencer Drango.
Drango.
Full stop.
Drango Unchained.
I really thought Spencer Drango was going to be like a diamond in the rough at the guard spot. I really did. Don't give me that side eye. No, I did.
Baylor, right?
From Baylor, yeah. And was some of it that I really thought his name was awesome?
I mean, you don't have to admit this, Nick. You really don't.
What?
You don't have to admit that.
Why?
Want to be credible or
credibility is a myth. Credibility is an image thing. There are other people in this station.
I'm writing it down.
There's other people in this station that'll tell you every time that they got something right and seemingly only address the things that are wrong when like it benefits them. My credibility is my honesty. Anything else on that?
I'll use that against you.
Well, okay. Anything anyone says will be used against us, not just in a court of law, but in the court of Keith. 216-474-0092. Do you guys think in any way the Browns' lack of first-rounders has held them back? Because I actually think for all the belly aching about the Deshaun trade, and I get it, man. Like he has not been a franchise quarterback consistently or healthy the last 2 years, and so that automatically goes, but what about the first three rounders? Yeah, but you've still been pretty competitive without those first rounders, and you've managed to still draft well.
Yeah.
So I think what the Browns have done in the draft the last, and granted, I'm giving them a year this year, but the first two of the 3 years without a first round pick because of the Deshaun trade, I don't think it's directly held them back. It's probably meant that they went, they've had to outsource some of those one-year deals that we talked about. Like, because you didn't have a first-round pick, maybe you had to make the Za'Darius trade. Or because you made you didn't have a first-round pick, or you didn't hit on Jordan Elliott, then you had to go sign Dalvin Tomlinson. But, like, I actually think all things considered, you actually look at the players they picked, and without first-round picks, I think they've hit on as many contributors as they did when they had first-round picks and second-round picks. So, like, granted, this year could be a complete train wreck. You never know. It could also be a great draft.
Yeah.
But, like, I think they've kind of weathered the storm, despite the fact that the Deshaun side of this hasn't paid off in dividends.
Weather the storm is probably a good way to put it, because it could be worse.
Yeah.
And yet the team has still, after the Deshaun trades, still been a playoff team. 11-win team, by the way.
Which is better.
That says more about the roster than it does anything else.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.